In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And good Monday, everybody. Trump train. Let's hit it. There we go. 92 days left until the election, so we are not that far away. Just a little over 3 months away from the election in November. And yes, this is going to be, in my opinion, the, if not one of the most pivotal elections in the history of this country. We'll talk more about that today in the week ahead, weeks ahead even. But don't forget, make sure you register to vote. If you don't know anybody out there that, or if you know somebody out there that's not registered, please make sure that they are. And do as much as you can to get as many people out. I read something this morning that if just every Christian in America voted, and voted the correct way, which in my view is for Donald Trump, because you cannot, in my opinion, be a Christian and look at the Democrat platform and mark a box next to Joe Biden. We can talk about that as the show goes on, or even maybe tomorrow with Andy Pate when he's here. But in my opinion, you cannot be a Christian and do so. And you can either call in and chat about that throughout the show today, or you can send me an email and let me know what your thoughts are on that, or even go on the text line 307-200-8222. Impossible question of the day. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. Only 2% of people say they still use one of these. 2%. It's not a very big number, by the way. 2% they still use one of these. It was invented in the late 40s. Here's some ideas. Ice cream cone, Slinky, Silly Putty, Tupperware. So only 2% of people say they still use one of these. What is one of these? Hint, it was invented in the late 1940s. And 2% is the key here, which means not very many people still use one of these. Thoughts, Charlie, at all? Anything come to mind? I have nothing. I mean, Tupperware, there'd be way more than 2% of people still using Tupperware. I mean, you see Tupperware everywhere still. Now, granted, there's different facets of Tupperware today. Rubbermaid has products, and there's a gazillion imitations out there. But I think even Tupperware itself is itself. In fact, I think some people that don't, this is where it's sort of like Kleenex. So there's many, many brands of facial tissues, which is what they technically are called. But everybody says, like, you know, pass me a Kleenex, right? Tupperware is kind of the same thing. So if you were to poll people and say, do you still use Tupperware? Even if Rubbermaid is in the pantry or is in the, you know, drawer, they're still going to say they use Tupperware, right, Charlie? So it can't be Tupperware, because even if you use it or don't, they're going to say they do, whether or not they have it actually in their house or not. They're going to claim they do. So I don't think it's Tupperware. It's got to be something. I think it's, personally speaking, I would say it's some sort of a kitchen device. Given the fact that they're kind of talking about some of the things they are, it would have to be some sort of a, I think, some sort of like, you know, hand mixer. You know, like the old days where, you know, you'd put the, you know, remember those, Charlie, they had the crank where you put the, you had the handle and then you turned it. Well, how many people still use one of those today? I'm going to say hand mixer. I don't know what else it could possibly be. 303-477-5600 is our phone number. You can answer that on the KLZ 560 Facebook page as well. All right. I got a guest joining us here in a few minutes. So before that, though, I got a few things to just run through. Hand sanitizers. We talked about this in weeks past. And I think, Charlie, the last time we talked about this, there was around 100 hand sanitizers to avoid. Now the number's up to 200. So question I have is, wouldn't it be easier to just produce a list of the hand sanitizers you can use instead of saying there's 200 you can't use? It's the methanol, I believe, that is the issue with the hand sanitizers, if I'm not mistaken. And it's because of that. It's basically, methanol is a blood-borne type of a chemical whereby when you get it on your hands, it will go into your bloodstream. Now, my own personal opinion is unless you're bathing in this stuff, you know, using it periodically probably isn't going to be. I'm not a doctor, so don't take my word for it, but I have a hard time believing it's going to be that major of a deal. But a lot of these are produced in Mexico. Some have unknown origins. The FDA alerted consumers back in June to a list of initially 9. It was then expanded to 80, and now it's way, way, way up there, folks. So again, it would be much easier to just list those products that you can use instead of telling you there's, you know, 100, almost 200 now that you can't use. So that's just my own thought process on that. So yeah, be careful of what hand sanitizers you're using. All right. Another story I thought was interesting is there's a story in 9 News today where wildlife officers euthanized a fox that was kept in captivity for 2 years. A Colorado Springs woman took the red fox when it was young, put a dog collar on it, fed it human food, and in turn, they've euthanized the fox, claiming that they needed to make sure that since it interacted with domestic animals, that it was safe, as wild animals carry diseases. Well, if the fox isn't wild any longer, what's the chances of it carrying rabies and canine distemper? Again, I'm not a vet, so I don't know these answers. Not that I'm a fan of somebody taking a... I'm not a fan of somebody taking a fox and making a pet of it, but I'm also not a fan of just killing it because you're worried about something you could have tested for. Now, the thing was tame. Let's face it, she had a dog collar on it. It's not like it was running around rabid. You could have easily tested the fox to see whether it had any of these issues before just euthanizing it. To me, that's an extreme measure taken by the Division of Wildlife, as far as I'm concerned. Charlie? Oh, a hand bottle opener? Yeah, a hand bottle opener. Only 2% of those, though? So that was the question of the day, is 2% only use them? Say? Oh. Yeah, Charlie's got a point. You twist the tops off now instead of actually using a bottle opener on the bottles. And so you'd have to actually be drinking Coke with a, or, you know, Pepsi or something with an actual bottle and a cap, or some sort of a beer where it's not a twist off. So you're actually using an actual bottle opener. Okay. Yeah. I think it's more than 2% using that, but I could be wrong. I have a Coke machine, so I have, you know, mine have to be cracked off. But again, most people don't, and that's for the grandkids, not me. I don't drink Coke, but my grandkids love it. So anyways, you can answer that on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. Question of the day is 2% of people say they still use one of these. It was invented in the 40s. So there's your question of the day. Anyways, the fox story, I don't always understand why, you know, Division of Wildlife and so on does some of the things that they do, but at any rate. So there's an Antifa shake, and I may come back to this story a little bit later as we have time, but there's a Cuban community that is planning a rally in Nulu restaurant in response to a BLM demand. Basically, members of Louisville's Cuban community, they were planning to gather yesterday in support of a Nulu restaurant owner who says that he was threatened by BLM protesters during a recent demonstration. So the particular owner here of the Old Restaurant Group was one of dozens of owners in the downtown Louisville district who recently received a letter from protesters laying out demands that aim to improve diversity in the area, which is known for its locally owned shops and restaurants. They are using mafia tactics to intimidate business owners. In other words, they want a little bit of a bounty on your sales, much like the mafia used to do back in the day and still does probably in some parts of the country. They basically want a cut. That's Antifa for you. But I thought they were anti-government, Charlie. If they're anti-government, but they want to take a cut of your business to diversify it, and they sound much like they're acting like the government in taxes and so on. So they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, Antifa and BLM both. So at any rate, Purefoy Chevrolet is coming up next. If you are in the market for a new or used vehicle, give Purifoy a call today. They would love to help you out. We'll get our deal of the week as we get a little bit further along here in this week's shows. I should say about Wednesday, we typically find that out. But in the meantime, if you need anything when it comes to newer used vehicles, they've got you covered. New Chevrolets, used vehicles as well in Fort Lupton, not that far of a drive. And the phone number, by the way, 303-659-8311. But it's purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. You know, being in business for six decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purifoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purifoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Hey, we've got a couple of new sponsors to Rush to Reason that I will announce today. The first one being Golden Eagle Financial. Al Smith, he'll join us a little later in today's program where we'll get an update from Al on what he does specifically. But he's a financial planner. And just so you know, here at KLZ, Crawford Broadcasting, we have very stringent rules, especially when it comes to the financial planning end of things. There's a huge vetting process that we as a company go through to make sure that anybody that comes on board and advises you financially meets a stringent set of guidelines. Al has passed all of those with us here at Crawford Broadcasting, myself included. So if you need some help with your financial planning, you're getting to that age where you want to know, what do I do with Social Security? Where do I go from here? How do I make things work during retirement? Al will help you out. Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial. Find him and all of our other sponsors at klzradio.com.
Find your financial purpose with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. You want a retirement plan that alleviates your fears about the future so you know your money will last. Al Smith will help you find a balance between the risk and reward of the market and the safety of your retirement income. However, before you decide how much money you want to place under management, liquid and available to you at any time, and how much you want to protect in your retirement income, you need to have a conversation about how you plan to spend that money. Al Smith believes your financial plan should enhance your retirement. After 30 years in the industry, he's seen a lot of happy people retire, and some unhappy ones too. In his experience, the amount of money doesn't make the difference. The happiest people establish a purpose for their money that brings them and others joy. Visit klzradio.com/money now and set up a free consultation with Al Smith. Find your financial purpose.
Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, our next new sponsor is Barber's Foods. Yes, we finally have somebody coming alongside of us that is supporting us in the food nutrition end of things. Barber's Foods, met them a few weeks ago. They are now a sponsor of Drive Radio and Rush to Reason, 100% Colorado native-owned company. They've been feeding Colorado families the highest quality protein since 1949. They personally know all of their producers, so whether that's beef, bison, pork, poultry, doesn't matter. They know where that animal comes from, the family that raised them, and the processor that processed that meat as well. You can order online at barbersfoods.com or call 303-466-7338.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality protein since 1949. For over 50 years, the Barber's family raised the last of Colorado-grown turkeys on a turkey farm in Broomfield. And today, the Barber's family distributes high-quality, natural, local, and organic proteins from animals raised on family farms. They personally know all their producers, so whether you're buying beef, bison, pork, or poultry, they know where it's coming from, and the family who raises the animals with care and respect. Place your order now at barbersfoods.com or call 303-466-7338. Pick up your order at the Denver warehouse located at I-70 and Brighton Boulevard near the National Western Center. Or for those in the Denver metro area, Barber's Foods will deliver direct. Colorado source bison, organic grass-fed beef, USDA prime beef, purebred Wagyu, slow-raised non-GMO Duroc pork, free-range chicken, non-GMO turkeys, and more. Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native, owned and operated. Barber'sFoods.com.
In Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Again, thanks for joining us today. And our new sponsors, Al Smith, coming on from Golden Financial, Golden Eagle Financial, and Barber's Foods. And I want to thank both of them for joining us. Great additions to our lineup of sponsors, advertisers, you know, partners is what I should call them here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. If you need any more information on any of our advertisers, again, please go to the website, klzradio.com, and you can just click on the advertisers button, find everybody that's there. It's really easy, very simple. And again, when you find an advertiser that you use with us, even on just that first phone call, especially the first phone call, if you would, let them know you listen to our program. It helps them. It helps us, and honestly, it helps you because you're a part of the family when you call them and tell them that. Our next guest, Mike Gonzalez, joining us now. A new book, The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. Mike, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm very happy to be on with you. I love Denver. I love the West, and I'm going to say hello to your listeners.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it, Mike, very much. So, talk to us. And yes, identity politics. Oh, my word, Mike, if it's ever changing our land. I mean, it's been in the works for quite some time, but today it literally is splitting the country in half.
That's exactly right. My book, I'm sad to say, is very timely. What we're seeing in the streets of Portland, what we see with the New York Times, the 1619 Project, the Black Lives Matter organization, on the Andrews anti-racism training, or all of the consultants doing consciousness raising training. What we have seen writ large this summer of 2020, that's called the summer of hate, is the heart of what I wrote in my book, right? The plot that I refer to in the title is the attempt to rewrite the narrative of America, its economic system, its moral, its traditional family, its sovereignty, and replace it with a counter narrative. What is a counter narrative? Well, it's not capitalist, it's in fact Marxist, when we're out for equal.
Hey, and Mike, that you're breaking up a little bit. Can you move to maybe a different area to see if we can get a little better connection? That
sure.
We
can
got
you
everything
hear me now?
But that last part.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
There we go, much better. That's better.
Okay, so it's an attempt to replace, it wants to replace our systems, our economic and religion and everything else and the family with a counter-narrative.
Yep.
A counter-narrative that is not capitalist, that it's in fact Marxist.
Right.
The outcomes are equalized. The family is replaced with polyamory. So everything changes and everything is... So that's a counter-narrative. And national self-rule is replaced with international institutions. This is what I call it a plot, right? There are no Thursday night meetings in basements in Cambridge or Brooklyn, but there is a series of theories behind what we want to change our country from and to.
Well, and I just, before you came on, our last segment, I talked about an MLB Antifa shakedown, back east in the Cuban area. Louisville is the town's name. There's a lot of Cuban restaurants and things there, and basically BLM and Antifa are wanting them to, quote-unquote, diversify, and they're wanting a cut of the profits of those particular stores and restaurants. To your point, Mike, that's exactly what's happening.
I've been following that story, and I was surprised that there's a strong Cuban-American community in Louisville. I'm not surprised. I did a bit of research on the owners. I'm not surprised that they have reacted to this because they saw, like I saw, I was also born in Cuba, they saw their culture destroyed by people who wanted to replace it with Marxism.
Well said.
Right. So they actually, these restaurant owners, they're just average middle-class folks, but they want to fight. They're saying to Black Lives Matter, you're not going to do to us what was done to us back in the place where we were born. And do you want me to give the roots of what these theories are? Would that be too weedy for you?
Sure. Go ahead. Yeah, no, that'd be great. Please.
So this all goes back, actually, to the 1920s, an Italian communist leader named Antonio Gramsci, who realized that revolutions were not going to happen. Marx had promised there were going to be revolutions everywhere, but every revolution had failed except for one in one backwater part of Europe in 1917. And he realized that the worker had become his own enemy. The worker had bought into all the ideas of his quote-unquote oppressor of the bourgeoisie, the family, the economic system, all the institutions, religion, and the worker had thus false consciousness, was never going to liberate himself. This is the theory of hegemonic narrative. And then Gramsci thought, we need to have consciousness-raising exercises. We need to change the way he thinks, the way, and we need to be put through struggle sessions, re-education camp, and we need to put in the new narrative, the counter-narrative. A later refinement came with Marcuse in the 1960s, another thinker who was very active in America, who thought, well, the new agents of change are not going to be the workers anymore, are going to be the members of identity groups that we tell them they have grievances. We're going to fill them with grievances. Mm. We're going to tell them the country's institutionally and structurally and systemically racist, so that they want to change to what they want to overthrow the institutions, the system, and the structures. And this is what we're seeing today.
I was going to say that sounds
this
very
is what
familiar.
We have in summer of 2020. Yes, go ahead.
I mean, I was just going to say it sounds very familiar to today. In fact, it's a duplicate of today.
No, but it's the consequence of today. It is exactly what we're seeing today. Yep. Is why we have today. This is the reason why I say, look, I'm happy my book is doing well, but I'm very unhappy as to the reasons why.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree with that. And you're right. The timing of it is right on the money. Okay, so question for you. How do we fight against this?
Look, there is no silver bullet, right? I'm going to level with you. This is a really difficult task, but it's a very doable task. It's imminently doable, although difficult. The first thing we need to do is get the government out of the business of creating categories.
Gotcha.
The government had no business in creating the Hispanic category or the Asian American category. This will be news to most of your listeners who think that Hispanics have been around forever. No, Mexican Americans or Cuban Americans like me, that is a real thing. That is country of origin. The category of Hispanic is brand new. It was created in 1977 by the Office of Management and Budget. The same thing with Asians. The government wanted to create a new category, 2016, President Obama, for MENA, Middle East, North Africa. All the other identity categories, the categories that are freighted with victimhood and grievances and resentment, they were all created and then filled with these grievances. We need to get out of the business of doing that, mm-hmm. and we need to get out of the business of giving advantages and benefits to people who adhere to these categories. So right now we have the racial preferences of affirmative action. We have government contract programs.
That's right.
We have set-asides. That really is a material incentive to somebody to say, I'm a member of Category X. Mm. We're victims. Thus, I get to the ahead of the line. That is unconstitutional. Yep. We need to call it out for what it is and say, no, the Constitution is against this. I think that will happen soon.
Well, and essentially it goes against what the Founding Fathers said, all men are created equal. When you start classifying people the way you're talking about, Mike, and the way we're doing it in government, you're defeating the purpose of what the Founders said.
You're creating a system of castes.
That's right.
These are castes. This is not America. America has not always lived up to its ideals, but every time it has looked up to its ideals, it has solved its problems.
Yeah.
Lincoln solved the biggest problem that we had by looking up to the idea that all men are created equal. In fact, he said that Jefferson had no need to put in those words in order to defeat the British, that he had put in that concept so somebody like Lincoln would come along at some point and get rid of slavery. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King, when he goes to the steps of the Mall in 1963, and he says, we're here to cash a promissory note. What is a promissory note? It is the promise of all men are created equal. So every time we have aspired to these ideals, we have solved the most difficult problems that we have. Let's do that again with identity politics.
Well, Mike, I appreciate it. Where can folks actually get the book?
They can get it at heritage.org/theplot, or they can get it at heritage.org. They can get it at Amazon. They can look me up at heritage.org. I have a big event tomorrow with Michael Knowles.
Awesome.
At 11:15 at heritage.org, 11:15 Eastern Time. We have hundreds of people who have signed up.
So the book is doing well. As I said, I'm very happy about that. I'm not happy as to why.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I appreciate your humbleness, but it's also timely in the fact that it's coming out when it is. Love to have you back, Mike. Great interview. Really appreciate it. Hope things go well tomorrow. And again, I'd love to get you back. I'll talk to your publicist. We'll get you back
anytime.
On again.
Anytime, John.
Thank you, Mike. Much. I appreciate it very much. Good stuff, by the way. And you can buy the book, again, heritage.org/theplot. American National Insurance is up next. My agent, Paul Leuenberger, he'd love to help you out with all of your insurance needs and make sure that you're properly insured. Not over, not under, but the right insurance. And he can bundle some things up, save you some money. Keep in mind, he'll insure anything. Boat, auto, RTV, ATV, motorcycle, you name it, he can do it all. 303-662-0789. Or again, you can find him at klzradio.com.
These past few months have been all about prioritizing what matters and what doesn't. Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance gives you the coverage you need and not what you don't. It's the worst feeling when something unexpected happens that you thought your insurance policy would cover, but it doesn't. Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance saves you from those kinds of surprises. He understands, though, that you don't want more home and auto coverage than you need. To be honest, you may not know what your current policy covers, not to mention home and auto policies change all the time. Especially in Colorado, hail and windstorms tend to hike up your premium costs year after year. Remove the mystery and decide what's important to you. Have a conversation now with Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance. He will give you options so you can choose the coverage you need and not what you don't. Call the personal insurance agent of John Rush today, 303-662-0789, or visit rushtoreason.com to find Paul.
Novus Auto Glass, and yes, they are there to take care of all of your auto glass needs, from mirrors, you know, side view mirrors and back glass, side glass, windshields. They can do all of it, including, you know, pits, cracks, things like that in your windshield. Get those fixed now, though, before they get worse, because the longer you wait, the harder they are to get fixed. So take that star, get it handled now so you don't have to replace a windshield. On the same token, if you need a windshield, they can do that as well, and they work with all insurance companies. Find a location near you up and down our entire listening audience by going to rushtoreason.com/Novus.
John Rush personally uses Novus Auto Glass to maintain his fleet of company trucks. All of his trucks tend to be in the same place at the same time on Friday mornings. So every Friday morning, without fail, John's local Novus guy comes by to check all of the windshields on his company fleet. That's at least 50 different windshields. On the spot, any new little chip or crack gets immediately repaired. Since John self-insures his glass repair and replacement, Novus offers him a discounted cash price. Even more importantly, John saves a lot of money in the long run by repairing those chips and cracks immediately instead of waiting to replace all of those windshields down the road. He'd much rather pay $40 or $50 per vehicle for regular repairs than pay hundreds or even thousands of dollars to replace each of those windshields. Take care of your company vehicles. Visit rushtoreason.com/Novus now and schedule regular maintenance for your fleet. Novus Auto Glass, the inventors of windshield repair.
Hey, a lot of you out there that don't have your estate planning set, your will, your living will, things like that, you all think it's going to be a ton of money. And the reality is, Michael will give you a free consultation on the front side, tell you exactly what you need and then what it will cost. It's really that easy. Just sit down, have a conversation, and he'll do the rest. And you can call Michael at 720-394-6887 or find him at klzradio.com.
Have a plan, not just documents. Your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law will likely involve multiple different documents, all working together to make sure your stuff goes to the right people when you die. Think about all of the different types of investments that comprise your estate. Your stocks and bonds, your 401k, your IRA, your annuities, your life insurance policy, your house, your vehicles, the money in your bank accounts, and more. You may assume that a basic will covers everything, but depending on your wishes, you may need more than one strategy to establish who gets what. You need to work with someone who will establish a comprehensive estate plan, not just draw up documents. Schedule a Zoom meeting with KLZ's mobile estate planner today. Make sure your entire estate will go exactly where you want it. Visit MichaelBaileyLawLLC.com.
Is President Trump's China strategy effective? Why did the U.S. close the Chinese consulate in Houston? Kim Munson here. Tuesday, investigative reporter with the Epoch Times and host of the China Report, Josh Phillip, joins me to answer these questions. President and CEO of American Highway Users Alliance, Laura Peretta, will explain Trump's plan to fix our highways and bridges. Plus, Waters Edge Winery owner Jen Hewlin will share the latest on what's happening at the winery. All this Tuesday, 6 to 7 a.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. Charlie's getting Jarrett Stepman dialed in from Daily Signal. And that last author we had, by the way, very timely. And, you know, for those of you that maybe don't know this, writing books, most of you probably know, takes some time. You don't just sit down and write a book in, you know, a month or two. It takes, in some cases, a year to get a book fully done, written, proofed, published. All of that happens. It's a year to 18-month process in a lot of cases. And this book that he just came out with, that our last guest, Mike Gonzalez, came out with, having that done and then show up now, it's almost divine. Yeah, we knew some of that stuff was going on long before now, but to see his book now. And by the way, I emailed his publicist, and we'll get Mike back on, get a little bit longer time where we can talk to him. I'd like to listen to him more on his thoughts on what's happening in those towns like Louisville, where Black Lives Matter and Antifa is literally demanding that these businesses pony up and pay them for their, you know, basically pay them a percentage of their intake is what they're looking for. Jarrett Stepman joining us now, Daily Signal. Jarrett, welcome. How are you today, sir?
Doing very well. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for joining us. How are things in D.C.?
Things are a little stormy right now. We're going to have a tropical storm coming through. So it's getting a little rainy, a little dark, but that's okay.
All right. So let's talk about teachers' unions, COVID, going back to school. This thing, I've said it all along, Jarrett, but this COVID thing is the most politically weaponized virus I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, and it's very clear that the teachers' unions around the country are now using this as a political weapon, one, to prevent schools around the country really from reopening, and two, to create really a litany of political demands, many of which have, frankly, little or nothing to do with actual education of students and more to do with the progressive priorities that the unions in general have in this country. I mean, that's what's really stunning and shows, you know, how bold they are in simply demanding things like, for instance, an LA union actually asked for things like Medicare for all, asked for higher taxes on the rich. Really,
yeah, and what does that have to do with the student in the classroom, Jarrett?
Well, it has almost nothing at all to do with the student in the classroom. Actually, it's pretty much nothing. It's more in line with the political priorities of the unions and, of course, the Democrat Party, which they work very closely with. And it does show, ultimately, where the priorities of the teachers' unions are. Are they really with educating students and making sure that our young Americans have the best education possible in the best environment? I mean, some of this rhetoric that they have that they feel unsafe right now, that they don't feel safe in the environment of the schools, needs to be cover for them to simply push and really hold hostage the American public for the sake of their political priorities.
And I'm guessing, I don't know this for a fact, Jarrett, so I have to be careful when I say this because it's probably not the case in every situation with a teacher, but typically teachers are of that age to where typically they have their own kids. I realize there's some older teachers out there that may not, and their kids maybe are grown and gone. But for the most part, Jarrett, let's face it, the average teacher probably has their own kids floating around. Am I right in saying that?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Okay, so then if they've got their own kids that are of that age, then where I'm confused as to where the danger is. Their kids are probably playing with other kids. They're going out in public. They're going places. They're doing things. They're traveling. Trust me, Jarrett, these teachers aren't just, you know, at home bubble wrapped waiting for, you know, COVID to end before they come out of the house. These people are living life just like they always have. So I'm confused as to where the real danger is.
Yeah, and one also thinks about, what about all the workers who are, you know, for instance, working at Trader Joe's and working in so many other industries who have been put at risk, as these unions say. I think, honestly, at the bottom line of all this, I think they're actually making a bad political mistake by making all of these demands on the American public right now. So many people are really struggling with the distance learning and the online learning, which is a real struggle, especially for younger kids. You have these teachers unions who are making these demands and also trying to stop alternatives from taking place.
Yeah.
Part of the demands is stopping charter schools.
Well said.
They hate this idea of these school pods, which are becoming very very attractive to a lot of parents, where parents band together in groups of around 10 people, or sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more, to try to give their kids an education. I think these unions are really afraid of that kind of political shakeup, and I think, to a certain extent, they are playing right into it.
Yeah.
They think it's the way for them to hold it over the heads of the American people. A lot of Americans say, you know, I don't really need that for my kids. You know, I've already been through so much stress through this coronavirus and everything, all these shutdowns, and now you're telling me you're not going to educate my kids? Well, you know what? I'm going to take my kid elsewhere. I'm going to find alternatives to the public school system that is failing my kids normally in normal times, and it's particularly failing them right now when they're needed most.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of things, and it's in there's articles out there, by the way, all over about this. So there's a couple of things that are happening. One, I think some of this is backfiring, because I've already seen just in different Facebook posts and people that I know and so on, and I realize this won't be for every single person out there, so everybody bear with me. I'm not saying this is a blanket statement, but Jarrett, there will be those parents, and it's already happening as we speak. There will be those parents that will just say, you know what, we've always thought about a private education for our child anyway, so the reality is, We're gonna save up, you know, we're gonna sell the extra home, we're gonna sell the motor home, we're gonna do whatever we need to do, and you know, maybe we're gonna have to cut some vacations back or what have you. But you know what? We're gonna put our kids in private school where we know they're actually gonna be in school come fall, and we're gonna actually go down that path, and we're not gonna mess with the public school system any longer. They're gonna lose a certain amount of students to that in the first place.
I think they're gonna lose a lot of students for that. And I would suggest to your listeners to go to our website, heritage.org. One of my colleagues, Lindsay Burke, has put up, I think, an excellent rundown of all the different options that are available right now, these pods that many parents are taking advantage of, pushing your state legislatures to push for charter school laws and other school choice laws, education savings accounts. I mean, I think the prime priority here right now is to move away a lot of the funding that we have directed toward the public schools, which are failing, which are basically holding us over the American public, and directing this to actually bring in education to our children right now when it's desperately needed.
I just got a text message in from one of the folks that works here at the station, Jarrett, that says school bus capacity in most cases is also going to be probably cut in half, if not less than half. A regular 72-passenger school bus may only have about 26 students on it. So again, they're shooting themselves in the foot, because what parents are going to look at is, wait a minute, if I'm going to drive my kid to school anyways, and I'm going to have extra costs and things associated with doing this, again, I go back to my statement a moment ago, Jarrett, some families are going to look at, okay, what do we do? What do we sacrifice to just put, you know, Susie and Johnny in the local private school and be done with public school altogether?
Yeah, I do think that that's going to be the mentality for a lot of parents. And this really is the hubris of a lot of these unions, that simply think that parents will basically tolerate this to no end. And to tell basically parents that they don't have other choices and other options. I think that narrative is also something that's very much out there, especially given the amount of stress the American parents have had right now. I mean, you know, I hear so many stories of parents who have had so many challenges. I mean, especially if you have younger children, you know, the online, the distance learning just is not working very well, who are looking for other opportunities, and then they have the hubris of the local, you know, teachers union basically say, well, you know, we don't think it's safe for us to go back in the classrooms. We have all these demands. Too bad, so sad. I mean, what kind of message is that sending to the American public right now?
Yep.
And I think, you know, maybe it'll create some opportunities for us to rethink a large part of our
I agree. There's also some things out there, Jarrett, where some of these teachers are talking about how they don't want the anxiety over how they might look on camera if they do, you know, in camera or, you know, on camera learning and some of those things as well. They're worried about what their home looks like. They're worried about how they'll look. And I'm thinking to myself, no, what they're really worried about, Jarrett, is this. This is my theory on this. What they're really worried about is parents that really pay attention, that might be in the background listening to their child actually getting taught by said teacher. My thing is, I think what they're really worried about is getting caught
in not doing their teaching as well as they should be in the first place. To me, that's what the fear is.
That is what the fear is. It's a fear of the parents, for the parents to actually look into that world and start to question the educational value that's coming from their schools. I think they're definitely afraid of having the parents see into that. And I think that's what's so important. You know, what's education going to look like when kids get back into school? I mean, especially, you know, the other elephant in the room, we're going to have a lot of radical kind of indoctrination.
That's right.
1619 Project.
That's right.
You know, we're going to see a lot of that stuff too. Parents are going to have a window into that. And I don't think teachers are going to want parents, you know, a lot of angry parents, peering into that world. They want to keep this stuff out of their classrooms.
Oh, they want insulation, Jared. They always have. They always will. To your point, they do not want any parent peering into their world unless it's an indoctrinated parent that believes in what they're doing.
Absolutely. And again, I think this moment is a time that's, I think, very difficult and stressful for a lot of parents. But hopefully, you know, maybe this will actually open up some opportunities. You know, we'll see past the fact that, you know, our public schools have, in many cases, done a poor job over the last half century. And I think many school districts have been doing, suffered and done poorly. And this will create a reevaluation, especially as parents have this held over their heads, to look at other educational opportunities that does a better job of bringing an actual education to young Americans. So while I think that some of these demands are ridiculous, and I think that they're are shooting themselves in the foot, and they are going to hurt a lot of parents and kids in the meantime, maybe it'll allow us to rethink this system that, frankly, has not been serving the American public or individuals well for a long time.
Yeah, and I just had a text message that came in that said, our private school teachers paid more. Now, there are a few situations, Jarrett, where in certain private schools, yes, a private school teacher may make more money. But in general, especially when you look at, you know, Catholic Christian schools, things along those lines, typically speaking, those teachers look at it more of a quote-unquote ministry as opposed to a job. And in a lot of cases, Jarrett, they're making less money than they would make in the public school system.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went to a small Christian school, private school, when I was growing up, and a lot of teachers there did make less money. But, I mean, part of being a teacher is the service of being a teacher as well. There are other values besides simply how much money do I make. Some people believe very strongly in bringing education and values to young people. I mean, that, you know, to any kind of industry that is a kind of service like that, the interest is not there just for you to have a job and employment, and that's, of course, a good and positive thing. But you do have a special service as a teacher of young people. You are shaping young people, not just the education, but also, you know, the values they have and how they conduct themselves in life and how they comport themselves, which is equally, if not more valuable than simply training them to be good in math and science things like that. It's training young citizens of the republic to be self-sustaining and self-governing people. That's a wonderful thing. And those teachers, they should be rewarded. They should be celebrated.
Agreed. And I will tell you right now, Jared, in fact, this would be a piece worth reading from you or anybody that would like to write it, would be that I'm of the strong opinion. I know it's just my opinion, but I'm of the strong opinion that if you're a Christian parent and you're raising Christian kids, the last place I would want my child, and I would do every single thing I possibly could sacrifice-wise to make sure they did not end up there, but I would not have my Christian kids in a public school. I would do whatever it took to put them in, you know, a Christian school first. And I'm not Catholic, but Jared, I would take a Catholic school, even though that's not my particular faith. I would put them in a Catholic school before I put them in a public school.
Yeah, and I think the same becoming increasingly the case. I mean, when I was growing up, I'm a millennial. I think that's already becoming the case. I think it's even more extreme now, and I think those opportunities need to be created. You know, again, push your local legislature to get on the ball and create a program so that, you know, look, for families who can't afford to get out of the public school, can find opportunities, education savings accounts, maybe some charter schools, ways to get out of that public school system that will be, frankly, hostile to your worldview. We'll try to indoctrinate your children. We'll give them a poor education and leave them, I think, poor throughout life in the tools they have, both the intellectual tools and, I think, the moral and virtuous tools that they'll need to be outstanding citizens. So I agree with you completely.
Well done. Jarrett Stepman, Daily Signal. Stay safe with the approaching storm that's coming your way, and hopefully things will go well. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you very
Jarrett, as always, I appreciate it very much. Have a fabulous week. We'll come right back. Up next, Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers. And Kurt is able to help you out with all of your mortgage needs. Now, again, right now he's busy, he's swamped, there's a lot going on, but it doesn't mean he won't return your phone call and do his best to take care of you. 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
All right, Dr. Julie Marchio, AscentHealthCenter.com is the website, and they want to help you with a comprehensive, this is their mission statement, comprehensive environment for health and healing to enable the achievement of optimal life performance and to assist in developing the highest quality of life. Folks, if you don't feel good, nothing else in life goes well. The better you feel, the better life is. It's just one of those things. It's how life works. It's how things work. So you know what? If you're not feeling well and you want some assist in that, if you're not at the weight that you'd like to be, if you'd like to cut some weight, they can help you with that as well. Neurofeedback, you name it, they can help. That's AscentHealthCenter.com, 303-343-8800.
Changes in your routine shouldn't stop you from achieving your health goals. John Rush recommends Dr. Julie Marchiol of Ascend Health Center as your personal weight loss guide, giving you the confidence that you need to see real results. Dr. Julie wants to provide, enable, and assist you in developing your highest quality of life. As she coaches you through your own personal HCG diet program, you will start to see significant weight loss without starving yourself. HCG is a hormone that uses non-essential fat for energy. The homeopathic-based HCG diet teaches your body to burn excess fat first, leaving behind only the fat that your body really needs. Call Ascend Health Center in Lowry or Inglewood now and ask them for the COVID weight loss package. Schedule free consultation with Dr. Julie to check your BMI and resting calorie burn. Call 303-343-8800 or visit RushToReason.com to find Dr. Julie now. Get the support you need to achieve that goal that you've been dreaming about.
John Rush believes there's no such thing as normal. You always need to stay focused on the future, and this current environment is no different. The only difference now is that you have a rare opportunity to beat your competition as they stay stuck in survival mode. Not one of John's small business clients shut down during the quarantine. And believe it or not, none of them has seen a drop in overall revenue compared to last year. Hire John and stay focused on the future. RushToReason.com.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. Jarrett Stepman, our last guest, Daily Signal. You can find all of Jarrett's work by just going to Daily Signal. It's easy. Just find him. In fact, you can just Google his name. He'll come right up. All of his articles, things like that. Very easy. All right. Couple of things I wanted to follow up there when we were talking to Jarrett. I've got other things in my notes as well, but I wanted to make sure I just explain things a little further. Charlie mentioned something a moment ago that he said I said a moment ago in that discussion with Jarrett that he had not heard anywhere else. And honestly, I haven't read it. I was just thinking out loud, I guess, a moment ago when I was talking to Jarrett Stepman, that I think part of the reason why some of these school teachers do not want to be on video. Because here's what's going on with these teachers' unions. They're complaining about having in-session classes because of COVID, but they're also complaining about doing things via video. Some teachers are complaining about, you know, what would they look like on camera? What would their house look like? So on and so forth. My own thought process is that's not it at all. What they really care about is a parent in the background listening to them instruct their, you know, we got a lot of people now staying home. Okay, they're working from home, which means the kids are going to be home at the same time, which means a lot of these parents are going to be able to overhear at times things that the teachers are actually teaching on what they're saying and how things are working. And my feeling is these teachers don't want that scrutiny
Because other than some of the student or, you know, some of the teachers that are out there where there's an assistant, a teacher's assistant, you know, from a parent that comes in periodically, typically parents don't have any idea what's going on in the classroom. And Charlie and I were talking at the break, you know, there's been reports out where not all kids, but a lot of kids are able to get their 6 to 7 hour school day in. You know, I'd say 6 to 7 hours, by the time you take out, you know, recess, lunch, and so on, it's about 6 hours or so. But they're cutting that 6 hours down to about 2. And I'm not exaggerating. You can go look it up. I've seen this all across the internet from even Facebook friends and so on, where kids, you know, through this last part of the springtime when they were home during school, they were literally getting all of their work done in about 1.5 to 2 hours of the day. And talk to anyone that's homeschooled, and they will tell you that, typically speaking, the school day lasts about 3 to 4 hours max. That's homeschooled. So the reality is, what's going on? This is Charlie and I's question. My question as well. What's going on in the classroom that's sucking up the other 6 hours? You know, or the other 4 hours, I should say, for the 6 hours of learning. Well, you know, what's sucking up that time? Is it just nonsense? Is it playtime? Is it organizational time, admin time, indoctrination time? You know, what's going on in the other 4 hours of school in a day? And I think for most parents, you'd be shocked at what goes on in the classroom. My own thought process is a lot of nonsense. You can't discipline kids in the school, you know, in the schoolroom like you once did. So in my opinion, there's a lot of nonsense, a lot of dinking around, a lot of indoctrination by the teacher on what he or she thinks should be going on in the world today. And it's not actual learning. And frankly, to me, that's what the union is the most upset about. Is they don't want you doing this online because they can't indoctrinate online like they would normally be able to. But on the same token, they want all these demands met before they can have school back in session. And frankly, they're using the kids as a pawn, because what they're really working on are parents' not only heartstrings, but their ability to be home with their kids when a lot of parents can't be. So they're using the kids as a pawn to get with the teacher union once, because they know that parents need their kids back in school so they can get their life back on track in regards to work and the other things that need to happen inside the household. The unions are using the kids as a political pawn to get what they want. Shame on them, by the way. Shame on them. That's all I'm going to say. Enchanted Kitchens is next. And I've talked about this last week. I've looked at a lot of homes here recently in something I'm trying to get done. And the reality is, folks, there's a lot of kitchens that need a lot of work that are by no means enchanted. And you want to have an enchanted kitchen. It's the first thing. If it's done correctly, it literally can make or break your house. Well, guess what? Enchanted Kitchens can do that for you. They can make that kitchen the centerpiece of your home. Go to klzradio.com. Find out all about Enchanted Kitchens. It's the best way to do it. Again, klzradio.com.
Your kitchen doesn't work. Think about how much time you spend in your kitchen every day, just standing at your countertops or reaching into your cabinets. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens looks beyond color palettes and materials to help you find a layout that works, so you can have a pleasant experience in your kitchen, not a frustrating or uncomfortable one. The Enchanted Kitchens design team understands that a new kitchen is a big investment, and one that you need to love for years to come. That's why they take their time with the decision-making process, meeting with you for free in their Experience Center, so you can see, touch, and feel a kitchen that works. Mention Rush to Reason, and you will receive a free, no-obligation, in-home design consultation. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens now and start designing a kitchen that works. Enchanted Kitchens, where magic meets design.
By the way, I just got a text message proving my point that says, my girlfriend's been listening to her daughter's teacher while they're online. Sure enough, parents are paying attention. Yes, folks, parents are. And that is, again, another fear the teachers union have, is that some teachers are going to be exposed for what they really are. In my opinion, a fraud. Some of these teachers shouldn't be teachers. Yeah, I know those are strong words, but you know what? I mean it. I am not a public school fan, as all of you know. So I'll say that right up front. All right, got another full hour coming your way. If it's close to 7 o'clock, have a great evening. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Otherwise, hour two is next.
and Camspiracy. So I got some things about Costco that we're going to talk about next, right here on Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.